much less evident than they are in this reproduction. Now, the shock can last until you make a comparison between the new Michelangelo and the old Michelangelo. And I tried to tell you how the old Michelangelo was determined. That if you take into account what they did in Florence and Rome when Michelangelo painted the Sistine ceiling, well, Michelangelo is simply doing something exceptionally fine, stylistically incredible, but technically similar to what his masters and his pupils were doing. Next. Cool. Now, this is one of the first ignudi painted by Michelangelo, and this is extremely Florentine. What comes out is a Florentine painting. It could be something by Botticelli, but more than Botticelli, something by Filippino Lippi. The same sense of design, the same sense of decoration, this way of drawing very carefully the profiles, the same sense for the line. And this one is certainly the first of the series of the prophets and sibyls to be painted, the Delphic sibyl, and it's still painted in a manner which recalls extremely Ghirlandaio, who had been the master of Michelangelo, and which recalls, in a sense, very much the figures of the Tondodoni painted by Michelangelo only a few years before, both for the, let's say, the style and for the figure. Now, just to give you an idea of how Michelangelo is into the tradition, into the Florentine tradition, these are two of the popes that are down below. And as you can see, the chromatic range, the choice of the color, is not very different. And here you see this use of different colors to make the part in shade and the part in light. The parts in light are in pink, and the parts in shade are in green, the use of shot colors to distinguish the two types of light. And in French, this is called changeant, and in Italian, cangiante. Now, this is what you find very frequently in the lunettes. Here, the shadow is red, the middle tone is yellow, and yellow-white is the lit part. And here you see how many tones. You have a green, you have a red, a pure red, and a violet here. Now, this is a palette which is rather unusual if you compare it with the palette that you find in the second half of the 16th century, but which is not so unusual if you compare what will be done soon after Michelangelo by the so-called Mannerists, especially the Florentine group of them, Contormo, Rosso, Andrea del Sarto, and Beccafumi. And it was to Michelangelo that Contormo, Rosso, and the others looked very carefully as a model. So that Michelangelo has been the prototype for the Mannerists, not only for the design, for the deformation of the forms, but also for the type of colors. And therefore, Michelangelo can be considered father and son of these times. Now, the cleaning has also resolved a number of problems that had made the scholars of the past discuss very, very often. One of the points more debated was the fact that since the aspect of the lunettes and of the figures on the ceiling was so different, the lunettes, as Tolnai had supposed, had been painted later than the ceiling and with a different scaffold. Tolnai said that the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel had been painted between, I mean, the stories of the Genesis and the figures of the prophets and sibyls had been painted between 1508 and 1510, and that between 1511 and 1512, Michelangelo had made all the ring of the lunettes. Now, stylistically, on the contrary, there is no opposition between ceiling and lunettes, as you will see, but there is certainly a great technical difference. The lunettes are very sketchy. The color is always generally very liquid, like that of a watercolor. It's a color extremely watery, like here. Here, for instance, the violet is applied first, and then he applies the green, so that where the green goes over the violet determines this very soft tone. But if in certain areas this is the detail of the lunette of Ozias, in other details, like this detail of the face of Jacob in the lunette of Jacob, which was one of the first painted by Michelangelo, you see how the execution is extremely careful and how Michelangelo paints the flesh of the face of this personage with this very careful hatching, taking into account that the head is as high as this. So this hatching is extremely accurate for the width on which the brush is working. Now, this is another example. This is the lunette, again, one of the first made by Michelangelo. The lunette of Achim Eliud. In the lunette, you have the representation of the ancestors of Christ according the list given by Matthew at the beginning of his gospel. This is Achim Eliud. And this is an example where you see how Michelangelo uses the Jean-Jean, violet for the shadow, green for the middle tone, and yellow for the light. And you see how different can be the execution according the distance of the detail from the eye of the beholder. The parts nearer are, in a sense, like the shoulder, are in a sense much more refined, more designed, more careful. The parts which are in the background, like this hand, are extremely sketchy. You see that it's simply a touch of the brush with quite a lot of water. You see that the brush leaves drops of water on the surface. And the painter one simply to give you an idea that there is a hand, but it doesn't determine carefully all the details. See how quick is the execution of this sleeve. The middle tone is simply the tone of the background. And then with Bianco di San Giovanni, with White of St. John, he makes the part in light. And with this red ground, he makes the shade. And here, you see that the character is that of a color drawing. And in a sense, in the lunette, Michelangelo is simply drawing with color. And the character is exactly the same, precise in some details, very careful in the design, and then extremely quick without care in others. Now, on the ceiling, everything changes. This is a detail of the figure of the prophet Isaiah. And here Michelangelo works as if he was making a small panel painting with the same care, with the same attention. But still the color is applied extremely liquid in transparent washes that always show through the color of the preparation. And you see that the parts which are more near, that are nearer the eye of the beholder, that is, in this case, the face, are more carefully executed than the part which are a little bit farther. The hairs are always very sketchy, very impressionistically done. Here, for instance, the black is the color of the design, the first to be done. And then, as you can see, he puts in the areas determined by the design this grayish color, which in some cases goes over, and therefore it's applied later, goes over the black design made by Michelangelo. And these are two details of the eye and of the mouth and the nose that give you an idea of the care of the execution. These heads are even bigger than the one of the lunette. The size is about this one. The figure, each figure of the prophets is 3 meters. So you can imagine how big is the lunette. But as you can see, he's working. Look, these small touches of color. He's working as if the panel, the whole panel, was not 3 meters high, but 30 centimeters wide. This is another example. This is the Sibyl di Eritrea. The face is the nearest part to the beholder. You see that the texture of the brush strokes is extremely careful, so that finally you don't distinguish anymore, just a little here on the chin, you distinguish a little bit the way the brush has gone. But in areas like this one, it's extremely difficult. You can see probably then here, because the detail is quite enlarged, that it's extremely difficult to see the texture of the brush strokes. In the parts which are farther, in the background, in the second plane, well, as you can see, the brush strokes changes totally. These are the incisions of the preliminary drawing, and that you find also here. To transfer the drawing from the cartoon, and you see how the brush stroke is totally different. Here he uses a very long brush, which he presses with the fingers, so that all the hairs of the poils of the brush open as in a semicircular way, and then uses the brush like this, so to have this texture and this reticule, which makes the effect softer when seen from afar. And he always plays from this more refined kind of execution, more sketchy, less focused way to determine the details. Now, this difference of technique that I tried to show you in the lunettes and in the ceiling is very evident when you take a cross-section. This that you can see in the left is a cross-section of a lunette, and this is one of the ceiling. In this case, the plaster was very wet, contained quite a lot of water, and the brush stroke had quite a lot of water beyond the color. So the color has been somehow sucked by the plaster, and the color has perfectly penetrated the surface, leaving on the surface simply a small layer perfectly mixed up with the plaster, perfectly carbonatized, and so extremely resistant. And this is one of the reasons that explain the good state of conservation of the fresco, notwithstanding the damages created by the salt. On the ceiling, the technique is different. You see how more compact is the plaster. The plaster has been pressed with an instrument that in Italian is called tratasso, very carefully, so that the part of the lime, the water of the lime, has come to the surface, making this lime and making even more smooth, even smoother, the surface on which the painter has worked. So that this, the surface has become like the surface of a panel. And then he has applied the first layer of color of this green, and then a lighter layer which shows in transparency the layer below. But as you can see, the thickness of the color is different, even if, in a sense, the effort, the research of the effort, is very similar. Now, the reason of the differences that I pointed out between lunettes and cini is simply in the fact that, pressed by the Pope and by the court of the Pope, and because he was a sculptor and he had the certainty, a mastery of the form that no other artist could have, Michelangelo decided to paint the lunettes without cartoon. You see that the lunettes, I don't know in feet, but in meters, each lunette is 6 meters large and 3 meters high. Each lunette is painted in 3 days' work, what we call giornata. That is, in 3 days, Michelangelo painted the lunettes. What is a giornata? The giornata, the day work, is the amount of work that the painter is able to do before the plaster dries. Before the plaster dries. Here in red, you have indicated the joints of the day works. The arrows indicate which area of plaster goes above which other. Obviously, the area of plaster that you have painted yesterday will be below the one that you paint today. So this was certainly the first giornata, and these two giornate were painted afterwards. One giornata for the inscription, and one giornata for each one of the groups. Now, if you put the raking light or examine carefully, you don't find any trace of any mark of what is generally used to transfer the drawing from the cartoon. The cartoon is simply the preliminary drawing, 1:1, same size as the painting, to transfer the drawing from the paper to the plaster. To transfer the drawing, the painters used mainly two systems. Either they made small holes around the contours of the figures with a nail, and then put the paper next to the plaster, and then with a small bag in which they had charcoal, they beaded the bag against the paper. The charcoal passed through the bag, passed through the holes, and left small dots on the surface. The other system is to put a paper, the cartoon, the paper with the design on the plaster, and then with the stylus press on the contours, so to leave an incision, I'll show you later, on the plastered surface. Now, putting a raking light, as you can see, you don't see any incision at all. These small holes are holes of the plaster, not dots of the punching, what we call punching spolver. And here, the color, as you can see, is so transparent that if there were dots below, you should see them. Now, the things change radically. No, sorry. So the Michelangelo works so quickly because he is without cartoon. He has to complete both the design and the painted part before the plaster dries. So you find quite a lot of connections, exactly as you have several collections when you draw. The whole painting is a correction because he finds the form while painting. Here you see some corrections, always made a fresco, always made when the plaster was still wet. This is a correction of the profile of the figure of Eleazar. Eleazar is still, again, in one of the lunettes of the entrance wall. And here you see, again, Eleazar. You see how the shoulder has been lowered, covering the part that you want to take off with the lime mixed with pink color. As I was saying, the situation changes on the ceiling. The giornate become smaller. As you can see here, one in sequence, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 to make the figure. But the figure is 3 meters high. Let us say that they are slightly more human. And here you see this other diagram. This is these are the diagrams of Joel, in which we have marked, it's a sort of index, we have marked all the traces that we have found of the dots of the punching, because mostly the cartoons were, the design of the cartoon was transformed by punching on the plaster, and of the incision, the direct incision, working with the stylus directly into the plaster, that were made to design the architecture. And here I'll show you some examples of punching. These are the dots I was speaking about before. You see how careful they are. All the lines have dots, and generally you can see because the color is so transparent. This is a detail of the flood, and this is a very small figure, but you see how carefully it has been designed and transferred onto the plaster. And this is a detail of the figure of Eve after the cleaning, and you see the punching, the dots of the punching here on the lips. You can see in transparency them also here, and probably more evident here on the eye. This is the incision. In this case, the cartoon, the paper with the preliminary design has been put on the plaster, and then he has pressed with the stylus, leaving these incisions. Now, the incision is something that Michelangelo uses very seldom, at least in the first half of the ceiling. I mean, this kind of incision. And it's not very clear why. probably because, especially on the flesh, it leaves traces so evident that Michelangelo probably didn't like to see them so clearly. Anyway, you find it only in this detail of the body of Holofernes beheaded. You see the blood coming out of the beheaded neck. And here in the figure of the angel in the scene of the expulsion. And here you have another kind of incision. In this case, you don't work with the cartoon. You work directly into the plaster. Here we are in the lunettes, and you see the hole of a nail. They put nails and then strings, and then with a stylus, they made the horizontals and the verticals so to be perfectly vertical and horizontal. Again, the holes of the nails, and then with a ruler or with a string stretched between two nails, he did these incisions. In some cases, especially on big figures, the spolvero, the dots of the punching, are incised with a stylus so not to lose the trace of the design while painting. And you see how this kind of incision is different from the type of incision that you have when you have the paper of the cartoon in between the plaster and the stylus. Well, obviously, on the ceiling you find quite a number of pentimenti. Some pentimenti were done in the course of the work, like the one that we have seen in the lunettes, when the decision was taken during the work, when the plaster was still extremely wet. And this is a case. You see here the incision, the preliminary incision from the cartoon. And as you can see, the figure was smaller. The shoulder was lower. The head was smaller. Now, what generally Michelangelo does is to isolate the silhouette of the figure. So the color of the background, in this case, the color of the sky, which is a smalt, was applied first. So he applied the color of the smalt, and as you can see, the brass stroke of blue color went here. And then he decided to enlarge the figure and put this orange, yellow-orange color that he uses for the hairs, which goes above the blue. The color with the centuries has become slightly more transparent and now shows through the first application and the pentimento, the change. Still a fresco is then this other change here of the sleeve, while in half fresco, and I tell you what does it mean, half fresco, is made this one on the back. In this case, this is done at the end of a giornata, at the end of the day work. And the plaster was still soft enough, so he cut a strip of plaster and put new plaster and then painted a fresco. And this explains why the color is so similar to the color a fresco that you have here. Here you have another kind of pentimento, of change. The ensemble of the figure, we are in the flood. The figure, the prophet that I showed you before was Zacharias. Here we are in the flood. And this enlargement, this small enlargement here, is made with a technique that's called affresco. In this case, this is done when the plaster was already rather hard. And so Michelangelo scratched it, and so to make a sort of incision of 1 millimeter, and substituted 1 millimeter of plaster, using in this case probably a brush. But then he couldn't smooth as well as this area, and therefore the surface was much rougher, and the effect of color was different. But the color was applied, diluted in water, exactly as in the technique, in the fresco pentimento that I showed you before. Now, these two are instead a secco. These are pentimenti made long after the plaster had dried. Now, this one here is the enlargement that you have seen before the cleaning at the beginning of the lecture. And here on the neck, you find another one on the figure of Zacharias. Generally, you can recognize these pentimenti because the color is altered, since it's a color that contains a glue, and the glue has altered while the part affresco has not. Now, generally, this kind of pentimenti are small changes of the figure, small adjustments determined by the fact that when the painter made the cartoon was vertical and he had a certain angle of view. When he worked on the ceiling, the angle changed, and so certain things were slightly changed, but deciding at the moment when the painter worked. So here you see he has reduced the length of the arm, and here he has lowered the height of the shoulder. In some cases, anyway, the pentimenti are more radical, the changes are more radical. In this case, for instance, in this ignudo, the arm was originally stretched forward, probably because, if you look at reproduction, you will see that the ignudo in front of this one has exactly the same position, probably because the position was the same and he wanted to change. He moved the hand backwards towards the shoulder, and obviously the retouching, since it's made a secco, has remained, is today evident. A secco are afterwards also the, once more, also the tondi with the bronze tondi with the stories of the Old Testament. In this case, the background is a fresco, and all the design, black lines here, and the gilt parts are applied a secco, because there is no way to apply the gold, but a secco. So a secco, Michelangelo does only those things that cannot be done in a different way. Those pentimenti that are done when the plaster is already so dried that he couldn't make a fresco, and those parts that couldn't be done but in this technique. Now, since the technique used to paint them, the lunettes are certainly painted directly by Michelangelo. I mean, no one of the pupils called from Florence, because he called several pupils from Florence at the very beginning, could have reached both the level of quality that you have here and could have worked without cartoon like Michelangelo does. See how incredible can be the level of these two figures, and this seems to contradict the legends about the hate of Michelangelo for women. I don't think there is an image more full of sense of feminine than this beautiful face. See how with the brush he destroys the contour here. Where you find the workshop is in this scene, in the first three scenes of the drunkenness of Noah, of the flood, and of the sacrifice. This photograph has been taken after the cleaning. According to Vasari, Michelangelo, and according to the letters, we know that Michelangelo called from Florence Granacci, Bugiardini, Lindia Covecchio, Aristotele da San Gallo, six or seven painters, and these painters started working with him. According to Vasari, anyway, the result of their work didn't satisfy Michelangelo, and therefore Michelangelo sent them home. Now, the problem is that to determine the moment when Michelangelo sent the pupils back home. And at least in these three scenes, you have such differences of hands that it's difficult to think that Michelangelo could have painted all this sequence of figures. As you can see, this is painted in a very different manner from this one. This is taken in raking light, so to show you also the thickness of the color. And you see how different is the thickness from here to here. We are in the scene of the flood, the first one, certainly painted by Michelangelo. Here you have two other faces of the same, of personages of the same scene. This is another detail of that woman naked and leaning down in the foreground in the flood. This is the man that holds the woman on the shoulder. And you see how differently they are painted. Moreover, in these scenes, you have you see how the contour, how the painter is always aware of the contour and try not, never forgets it. He, with the brush stroke, he arrives until the limit of the figure, trying to not to overcome it. There is a shyness in the use of the brush, which is not of Michelangelo's. And in figures which are certainly by Michelangelo, like the Ignudi and the Sibyls, this shyness disappears totally. You see that the contour is something that can be overcome when the painter decides to make it and is left out when it has to be left out for reasons, for purposes of design. Now, where the situation changes radically is in the scene of the punishment and of the expulsion. Here, the proportions of the figures increase so much that it becomes very difficult to think that the pupils could have executed these figures. For this is a figure which is high 2 meters, and it's made in one day work. He has the cartoon, but anyway, this means working very quickly. And another thing which is interesting is that here you start again having parts done without cartoon. It can seem funny, but the figure of this one has no trace of cartoon. And here you see these dots that you see here and here are the holes made to fix the paper of the cartoon. And as you can see, you find the holes to fix the cartoons only in the two side groups, but not in the central one. Here, this figure was transferred with incision, but it's a very peculiar case. And for this one, we don't find both, neither incision nor punch. Now, I would like to conclude with a few words on the scaffold used by Michelangelo. One of the problems that Michelangelo encountered at the very beginning of the work was the problem of the scaffold. Just imagine that in this chapel, somebody decided to decorate the ceiling, and that at the same time he needed to continue to celebrate Mass and to make the ceremonies that were held daily in the chapel. So the problem was to make something that couldn't disturb what happened below, and that at the same time allowed the painter to make his work. According to Vasari, the task was initially given to Bramante, who imagined, or at least probably designed, a scaffold which was suspended to ropes that passed through holes made into the ceiling. Now, this idea didn't convince Michelangelo, and Michelangelo asked Bramante, well, what shall I do when I'll have finished to paint with the holes? And Bramante replied that, well, we shall think about that when we'll be there. So Michelangelo asked the Pope to make himself the Pope, and according to Vasari, he made a Pope a scaffold that taught Bramante and the others, as Vasari says, how to make scaffolds and other architectural projects like this, which is not exactly true. I mean, Vasari was a great partisan of Michelangelo, and the idea of Michelangelo was extremely genius, was a genial idea. But the idea of Michelangelo was simply to use a structure that was used to build a vault. Now, in the course of the restoration, of the clean, we have found that this is the bottom of the lunettes, that at the bottom of the lunettes there was a strip covered by a fresco, certainly of the 18th century. We know that it's of the 18th century because it's part of a strip of fresco which bears the coat of arms of Pope Albani, and also because in this plaster we have found fragments of playing cards of the time of Pope Albani, probably hidden by some worker to hide what they were doing on the scaffold. Now, when we have removed this intonaco put in the 18th century, we have found the first coat of intonaco put by Michelangelo, that is the arricchio, the preparatory layer. And you see how blacky it is because of the smoke of the candles. It has been exposed to the smoke of the candles for long. And then we have found the holes of the scaffold of Michelangelo remained open until the 18th century. This strip is interesting because it proves that when Michelangelo took off his scaffold, he never made another one to complete parts eventually left unfinished, because in case this one would have been the first to be closed, to be completed. This is a sketch made by Michelangelo on a very famous drawing, a study for the Godfather for the Creation of Adam. And it was made to show the scaffold builder how he had not to build the scaffold, not too near the ceiling, because otherwise, standing on the side steps, Michelangelo would have bumped the head against the ceiling, and staying on this platform, he would have to work leaning down. Now, so how was the scaffold of Michelangelo? There were beams entering into these holes, on which that supported this structure, which had other elements of support below, as I will show you later. By the central platform, this one, Michelangelo painted the scenes of the Genesis. Here, obviously, you don't see Michelangelo, but somebody to whom Michelangelo should be very grateful, and that is Colalucci, who is our chief restorer, and who is making some retouching on the scene of the drunkenness of Noah. These are the other restorers. The restorers are only four: Maurizio Rossi, Bonetti, and Baratti. And from the side steps, he painted the Sibyls and the Prophets. These steps were movable, and moving them, you could descend to a lower level from which he painted the lunettes. Well, obviously, we are using a scaffold which is very similar to that of Michelangelo, but obviously not exactly identical. The main difference is that our scaffold has not the level used for the lunettes. For the lunettes, we have used a different scaffold. Also that the scaffold of Michelangelo covered half of the ceiling, while our scaffold covers only a small section so that the people can see what's going on the ceiling and the results of the work while the work is being done. This is the lunette of Aminadab, and the restorer is Bonetti. Now, this is the system with which Michelangelo supported the counter vault with steps and platform that I showed you before. This is the beam that enters into the hole. The hole is not obviously indicated. And this is a cornice, like the one in the Sistine, on which leans the beam. Over the beam, you have another beam, horizontal, that enlarges the width of the cornice.